One's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one's endeavor is certainly like that of a man who works very hard to take care of a cow that gives no milk. In other words, the fruit of one's laborious study of Vedic knowledge will simply be the labor itself, there will be no other tangible result. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the word Hare, the Supreme, in this verse indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rather than the impersonal Brahman, because Lord Krishna, the speaker of these instructions, makes reference to the nature verses to his personality as the Supreme. An impersonal interpretation in this case would be Eka Desanvaya Uttara Shlokarta Tat Parya Virota, or a contradictory interpretation that creates illogical conflict with other shlokas spoken in the same context. It requires great endeavor to take care of a cow. One must either grow food grains to feed the cow or maintain suitable pastures. If the pasture is not properly maintained, poisonous weeds will grow, or snakes will multiply, and there will be danger. Cows are infected by many types of diseases and bugs and must be regularly cleaned and disinfected. Similarly, fences must be maintained around the cow pasture, and there is even more work to be done. If the cow gives no milk, however, then one certainly performs hard labor with no tangible result. Laborious effort is also required to learn the Sanskrit language well enough to discern the subtle and esoteric meaning of the Vedic mantras. If after such great labor one does not understand the spiritual body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the source of all happiness in life, and if one does not surrender to the Lord as the supreme shelter of all things, then one has certainly labored hard with no tangible result other than his own labor. Even a liberated soul who has given up the bodily concept of life will fall down if he does not take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Nishnata, or expert, indicates that one must ultimately achieve the goal of life, otherwise one is not expert. As stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Premapum Ato Mahan, the actual goal of human life is love of Godhead, and no one can be considered expert without achieving this goal. Om Janatum Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adi 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 Sri
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So we will continue with the symptoms of living entities, those that have seemed to be conditioned and those that are liberated. And here specifically, Krishna is speaking about those who are using their intelligence in studying the Vedic literature, Hatana, without fixing their mind, without fixing their presence on Krishna, their activities are deemed to be a failure or useless. And the analogy that the acharyas are using here is that of a cow that doesn't give milk, and the Prabhupada goes on to explain how maintaining such a cow, you know, you have to do so many things, but if it's not aimed at taking care of a cow that gives milk, then our activities are just hard labor. You won't get anything out of it. So we understand from reading different pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam how our activities in this material world, whatever it is that we're performing, whether we see it as causing great happiness or distress, ultimately cause great pain, a lot of hard labor, a lot of sacrifice. But then in the end, you know, because it's material activities meant for the material senses and the material body, ultimately the results are useless because they cause even more suffering. So you can see how an unintelligent person, someone who hasn't fixed their mind and their intelligence on Krishna, keeps on laboring day after day for sense enjoyment. And seemingly it may look like they're getting some result, they're becoming big scholars in society, or they're the best humanitarians, or they have vast amounts of wealth, they have good health. But ultimately, as Krishna comes as the time factor, and it's just a matter of time, and then all these activities are destroyed when Krishna comes as death and takes it all away. And that's where you can understand that, you know, we're not really the supreme, we're not the supreme Lord as we may think we are. Because we get shown that when death comes, then we can't defeat death. So ultimately our activities, when they're not aimed at understanding Krishna, we continue in the cycle of birth and death. This is what this verse is speaking about, how we can endeavor so much for temporary happiness, a moment of flickering happiness in this material world, but then as the time factor keeps on approaching, or disease or different things that happen in the material world that spoil our enjoyment, you know, all our activities seem to have been a waste of time, really, and they are a waste of time if they're not engaged in Krishna's service. So whether we are using our body, our mind, whatever activities we're performing with our body, mind, and intelligence, it should be always focused, and the main aim should be towards understanding Krishna's real nature. And Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita explains how whatever activity we're actually performing, whether we're engaging the mind, the body, our intelligence, that should be aimed towards Krishna. And 97 of the Bhagavad Gita is explaining how whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerity you perform, do that, O Son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So Krishna is explaining that inevitably everything that we do in the material world, because it's part of Krishna's creation, and everything is emanating from Krishna, everything is maintained and sustained by Krishna. That if it's not mixed with devotional service, if our activities are not are centered around Krishna, then all activities are fruitless. During this labor, so that at the end of our life we have nothing to show for it. We may have been great people in society, highly respected, and achieved all the awards and achieved our great, you know, success in life, whatever our individual goals may be, but because it's not linked or tied to Krishna, it's material activity. So after some time they just go away and we have nothing to hold on to. So this is the nature of material activities that we're performing. And there's a nice verse in the third canto that's explaining how all our activities, especially this point of studying the Vedic literature, if it's not aimed at understanding the real nature of Krishna, then it's simply a waste of time, like a drop of water in a desert. For this Gita translation is in the chapter where Lord Satyadeva is speaking to his mother, entanglement and fruitive activities. So it says, by performing fruitive activities and sacrifices, by distributing charity, by performing austerity, by studying various literatures, by conducting philosophical research, by controlling the mind, by filtering the senses, by accepting and renouncing all of that, and by performing the prescribed duties of one social order, by performing the different divisions of yoga practice, by performing devotional service, and by exhibiting the process of devotional service, containing the symptoms of both attachment and detachment, by understanding the science of self-realization, by developing a strong sense of detachment, one who is expert in understanding the different processes of self-realization, realizing Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is represented in the ritual as well as in transcendence. So this verse very much links up with this one that's on the board today, but in the purport it's also explained how, and the translation, how we should all become experts in performing the art of devotional service. And here there's a list of all the different activities that we perform in this material world, whether it's austerity, giving in charity, becoming attached or detached from material existence, whatever it is we may do, controlling the mind, performing yoga asanas, everything. It should be done for Krishna's pleasure. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the word Bhakti Yogana Chaivahi means that whatever is to be performed as described in verse 34, whether yoga or sacrifice or fruitive activity or study of Vedic literature or philosophical research or acceptance of the ninth order is to be executed in Bhakti Yoga. So everything that we do has to be in connection with Krishna. We may externally be in the different ashrams or different vagas in our lives or different situations, politically, economically, socially, but if it's not linked to Krishna, fixing our mind and consciousness on Krishna, then it's futile. It can't yield any result. It's nothing but hard and hard labor over and over again. This is the nature of the material world. We work hard for enjoyment, and this so-called enjoyment leads to nothing but a repeated cycle of misery and distress. And as we read in the Nectar of Devotion, the first characteristic of devotional service is that devotional service releases our material distress, kshetagni. So that's the first thing that devotional service does. So that's what we're so hooked on in the material world. We think that we're enjoying, but actually we're suffering different miseries of having the material body. So here there's this word that's used a lot in the purport and translation, how one can become expert in performing their activities. And that one is only seen as an expert if they actually know what the goal of life is. But the goal of life is not to have to know as many shlokas as one, you know, can be in the Vedic literature or perform all the yoga asanas perfectly. That's not the goal of life. The goal of life is to fix the mind at all times and our consciousness on the lotus feet of Krishna and understanding who Krishna is. In the first getting into the purpose now, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is explaining how in this verse, versus the word Hare, which is used to mean that Krishna is the Supreme Person, not that he's impersonal Brahman. Of course, we understand that Krishna bodily causes, that's the Brahman, that's the Brahmajyoti. But here, it's very easy in the Vedic scriptures to actually turn everything into an impersonal understanding. And you can see just how expert Srila Prabhupada was in rendering our understanding of Krishna's known nature when he translated Sri Upanishad. And in that way, we explaining Krishna's different energies. But if an impersonalistic person reads Sri Upanishad, they actually use it to push on their impersonal understanding of God. Whereas Srila Prabhupada is using Sri Upanishad and explaining to us that Krishna is a person. So one who's expert actually knows Krishna's relation to everything. And one who's inquisitive starts understanding, they start questioning their relationship to the material world, and then we question our relationship to the Supreme Lord, the creator of everything. What's this material world and what's my connection to it? And from then on, we start performing devotional service under the expert guidance of someone who reveals all these truths to us. So becoming expert doesn't mean that we have to acquire material understanding or have degrees, you know, different PhDs here and there. That's not what it means to be expert. One who is expert is understanding what the aim of the Vedas is, and that is to reveal Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Supreme Person. So we understand that the different portions of the Bhagavatam are revealing Krishna's body. You know that as you start, we don't just jump to reading the 10th canto or the 11th canto, we start from canto 1. And in that way we're gradually having darshan of Krishna. So in the different verse in the Bhagavatam, we understanding how, you know, having real knowledge means understanding Krishna's body. And Krishna's body means understanding Krishna's entire creation. So you know that Krishna, he's in all directions. Krishna says he's the sun and the moon. He's seeing everything. He's bearing witness to everything. And through Krishna's body, all the planetary systems are floating. And through Krishna's effulgence, we get light. But that is all already explained in the Vedic literatures. But those who don't understand, those who are studying these literatures and not fixing their mind on Krishna, cannot see that fact, because you can only understand Krishna by practicing devotional service. So you can read all the books, but if it's not within the jurisdiction of devotional service, if it's not for the pleasure of the Lord, if it's not for understanding Krishna, then we'll miss the point of Srimad Bhagavatam or the different Upanishads that we have. So this is what is being explained in these different verses. So Bhagavatam gives us, you could say, inconceivable information about Krishna's body. You know, Krishna, some people will tell you, oh, I know Krishna. And in some days we meet a lot of people. The past few days still come and they will ask them, you know, where's your student card, where's this and that. And they say, oh yes, I forgot it. And then they will say, you know, what do you mean? You're cheating Krishna. And he says, yes, I know Krishna. And it's like, do you really know Krishna? You know, to know Krishna means to understand his entire creation, his body. And it's quite an amazing description we get from the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's one pastime of how, also I think it's in the third canto as well, how the different stages are traveling, headed by Sanat Kumar, traveling from Satya Loka down to the bottom of the universe. And they're going there and they're going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sankarshan. And they're traveling there and they're traveling along the Ganges River. So these yogis are such mystics, they're so powerful that they go from the highest, you know, place in the universe down to the bottom of the universe through the Ganges River. and all their activities, they're using their mysticism, they're using their intelligence to hear the voice of the Lord. And that is what it means to actually understand and become expert in the Vedic literature. That you achieve all these perfections, you achieve whatever mysticism or through your penance and austerity, all of that you're using in devotional service, in understanding the body of the Lord. And in that way, the different stages that Sai Sanat Kumar went in the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sankarshan. So this is the difference between those who become expert in Vedic literature with the mind attached to Krishna's lotus feet, and those who are reading Vedic literature for their material sense gratification, for their intelligence, for their mind, for all these things. So that is the difference through their activities. We get to understand what's the internal mood. Another nice way of understanding how futile our attempts may be if we just want to become expert in reading Vedic literature and make no endeavor to understand or fix our mind in Krishna. You know, you're just like an elephant taking a bath in the water and then going to roll around in the dust. And there's no point in going and splashing in the water, because 2 seconds later you're going to roll around in the dust. So we use 60 years of our lives studying Vedic literature, and we don't understand Krishna. We don't know that the goal of life is to understand who Krishna is and what our relationship to Krishna is. So in that way, our activities and our results are useless.
So it means that we don't have to go hard. So I can still do a little few things on the side, and I can still jump and comfort and master me and get a revelation. But that's not pure devotional service. The goal is pure devotional service and not just willingly performing service. So we may read scripture, and then because of our conditioning, because we have so much clutter in our consciousness, we may throw in a few of our, you know, struggle to watch out towards different verses. Or what Srila Prabhupada is trying to explain. So Srila Prabhupada showed us through revealing the different literatures, which were written by the six Goswamis as well, how they were also very expert in studying the revealed scriptures. And their goal, of course, obviously was fix and understand Krishna, because they were establishing what real Dharma is. And that's the difference between, you know, a person who is studying Vedic literature for their own scholarly intelligence or for improving their false ego or improving their position in society. So we have the six Goswamis of Vrindavan who were expertly scrutinizing the literature and revealing them for everyone so that we can follow this Bhagavad Dharma. So these are the examples of how we can follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. We're not studying Srimad Bhagavatam so that we can go somewhere and, you know, give Bhagavatam chapters and invite heaps of people and study canto 9 to 11 or something like that. That's not the goal of, you know, studying Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The goal should be to gradually fix our mind on Krishna. When Krishna is going to speak, and fixing our mind on Krishna means to be fixed in our service. And being fixed in our service doesn't mean that we only want to perform one type of service, and that means that I'm fixed. Being fixed in service means that our consciousness is fixed in serving Krishna. Wherever Krishna places me, I'm going to serve him. So our consciousness is supposed to be molded to a point where we just openly and gradually accept devotional service, no matter what Krishna wants us to do. And you'll find that as soon as we try and become a bit comfortable in performing devotional service, Krishna will turn the heat up a bit, and he'll shake us up and swing us to doing a different service. And because we were so caught up in what we were doing, we become a bit shaken. But the important thing is to always have a good consciousness and fixing it on performing service and not just a specific service. Because it won't be permanent. We're always doing different things. We're growing spiritually. And naturally, Krishna will send us different tests. Krishna will send us different purificatory systems to the devotees, or sending us to Siberia or somewhere to perform devotional service. And when that happens, you know, we're gradually, in the next few verses, they're going to explain the different qualities of a devotee. And one is that we should be sober, and we should develop qualities like tolerance and patience. So when you have a fixed, when your consciousness is fixed in devotional service, and you know that, you know, devotional service is so vast, it's not only limited to me doing a specific thing, then we don't become baffled, or we don't become annoyed or irritated when we start doing different services. And that's actually the joy of the executing devotional service, that you can do anything for Krishna. You can't just only, you know, like string a goddess in a specific way, or, you know, do an RT once a year or whatever. There's so much that you can do in devotional service. But Krishna is unlimited, and you can understand it from different viewpoints. It's not always black and white. So as Srimad Bhagavatam is gradually revealing Krishna, revealing Krishna's body, we'll be able to see, after studying Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of the spiritual master in the association of devotees, we can become expert bhakti yoga practitioners. And we'll understand what the goal of the Vedas is. We can understand what Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing to us, the highest goal of life, fixing our consciousness on Krishna. And of course the test will come at the final countdown. You know, when the soul, when the body is no longer fit to carry the soul, and we'll see just how much our consciousness throughout our life, how much our mind is actually fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. So it's a practicing devotional service is a career. It's not a once-off thing, or you don't give it attention, you know, certain times of the year, or at certain days when you feel like taking stock of your senses. A career means even if you feel sick, even if you don't feel like doing it, you know, this is a commitment that we're making for the spiritual master, serving the devotees and serving the deities. And I'm sure maybe some of us have had some exposure to working in the mundane world. You know, having a job, I used to be a waitress. So I would finish at 2 o'clock in the morning and then be back in the restaurant at 8, whether I wanted to or not, because that was my career at the time. So I began devotional service to learn and understand Krishna, the real nature of Krishna, not what we think Krishna's nature is. Understand the real nature of Krishna requires constant cultivation and constant guidance, and it requires constant stocktaking of our senses and our jhanti. And that way we gradually become fixed in devotional service, we become expert in knowing Krishna and performing devotional activities. So this is the purpose of the verse, as it ends by saying that without understanding what the actual goal of life is, one cannot call himself expert. So we have different people in, you know, in politics, in economics, you know, in the scientific world. They're doing so many things, creating this machine, creating that railway that gets you from point A to B in 20 minutes instead of 20 hours. You know, they're expert scientists. And then we have anthropologists as well, who are studying different cultures, and they understand that, you know, you can't imprint your own culture on someone, all these things. And they're experts, they're doctors, they have their PhDs. And then you have your economists, you know, who will tell you about the different economic theories and why we're in a high and why we're in a depression. You have all these different experts. And their name will be put up on a plaque somewhere, their name will go down in the Time magazine, different places, as the experts who, you know, who came up with the theory of gravity, which is already there, because we understand gravity is Krishna's energy. Krishna himself, he's holding up all the systems. But we have all these people who are taking material intelligence to be, you know, the highest goal in life. When Krishna kind of is the time factor, then all that they have produced pertaining to the body, gross and subtle, is taken away. So what was the point of all that endeavor since they were young, working hard to be a scientist, an engineer, to be this and that? Krishna comes a step and just takes it all away. Then in what time do we think we're powerful, but then someone comes and, you know, stops us from enjoying the body? So in actual fact, at the end of the life, you just realize, you know, I wasn't really an expert. If I knew what I was doing with my life, if I had it all figured out, I would not suffer so much, and I would be suffering now. So only a devotee actually knows what life is about, knows what the material nature is about, a devotee knows, you know, what the so-called happiness and distress of this world is about. A devotee knows all these things, because Krishna is revealing himself to the devotees through the Shastra, through the association of devotees, and through the spiritual master. And that's why only the devotees can be seen as being experts in their activities, because they know the real nature of activities in this world. And they know what the goal of this literature is. It's not to perform as many sacrifices as you can, or become an expert, you know, Bhagavatam recital or Shloka recital. It's to understand Krishna's real nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it takes constant practice, and it takes constant watering of that understanding. to actually get to the point of understand Krishna's real nature. It doesn't happen automatically. So this is where we're all working at. We don't want to be like the person laboring hard to take care of a cow that won't give milk at any time, ever. But can you imagine the hard labor? My father has a farm or a ranch, so it's just like cows everywhere. And you know, some of the cows just don't give milk, and there's fencing, and then you have foot and mouth disease. And so what happens if a cow gets foot and mouth disease? You know, the entire stock is just killed because it's that bad, it's that contagious. You can't do anything with the meat because that's the main thing when people keep house, they want to sell it to the slaughterhouse. So the disease comes in all your 12 years of maintaining your farm and buying your, you know, your bulls and like getting the right hay, the right stock, getting a farmer to take care of, you know, all these things just comes to an end when this disease hits one cow. It just, and then the cows just have to be wiped out because they're a danger not only to the environment, but if you try and sell the cow, which is what people do, everyone gets sick if they eat the meat. Well, everyone gets sick anyway when they eat meat, but economically, they don't go for that option. So studying Vedic literature like that, if we're laboring hard and trying to satisfy our material intelligence without the aim of performing devotional service, then it's useless. There's no point to it. So I'll stop here, I won't go any further, and I'll ask if anyone has a comment or question. I don't know if the tree has a question or yeah, anyone have a question? Yes.
In my training course on how to get certificate 3, I was reading the other day the personal contributions that with our attitude that we should apply in the service of personality. And it was saying you should be prepared to work pretty much whenever, like whatever they need you, so any time of the night at the same sort of rate, any time of the day. And with customer service, you should always smile when you don't feel like it.
Now Bernadette is applying this Shastra Chakshu. She's seeing, you know, activities, whether it's standing for a course, and she's relating it to Krishna consciousness. And that's complete utilization of our mind and our intelligence. And it's very true, because if you see our activities before coming to devotional service, you know, people work hard. Like, sometimes not even 9 to 5, it's 9 to 9. And then they have to travel an hour back home, and then get there and have nothing to eat, and then have 4 hours of sleep, and then go to work again. And this happens for years and years. And you see when people party, when people go out, it's winter time, and they're almost wearing nothing. Almost wearing nothing. Especially, everyone knows the women. And they go hard like anything, despite, you know, the external, the weather, whether they have money or not, they will slave like anything just to have a moment of enjoyment. And if we can be like that for Krishna, if we can work like anything for Krishna, just pick ourselves up and get ourselves to do service. Because that's what we're used to, well, I know for myself, that's what I was into. Waking up in the morning, training, going to the tennis court from 7 until 8 at night. All the time, running 5 kilometers every day, going to the gym, all these things, like this is my career, I'm a tennis player. And then I came to devotional service and I was like, ah, Prabhu, I don't feel well. You know, it's very easy, because then we're getting rid of our impersonal tendencies. As soon as it's about Krishna, we immediately, because we still have some conditions, like, it's for someone else, it's not for me. Then we start saying, maybe. But that's a condition that devotional service is getting rid of. This I am, me, I, wasn't it for me, conception of life. The devotional service cuts through that. And as you actually read Bhagavatam, you know, we get to understand more about the Gita, where we actually are in devotional service, how we're advancing. We get to read, okay, these are the modes, how do I act when I'm in this situation? What is my response when I'm confronted in this situation? Do I respond in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, or in the mode of goodness? So the more you read associated with devotees, you'll become aware of where your consciousness is in different situations, and then gradually you become purified and start acting properly, like, and develop the qualities that will be discussed in the next few chapters, the qualities of the devotee that are going to be discussed in detail in text 32. We'll hear about the qualities of the devotee. Does anyone else have any questions?
As you said, a lot of people will say that they know Krishna very well, but they don't know anything about Krishna. They don't do any service. They don't remember anything. So how do we know they know? They don't know actually. They know their own body, their own sense gratification. So we have to do, as you said, service is the most important thing, and chanting. If you know your relationship with Him, and if you love Him, you chant. I was hearing yesterday night, Prabhupada said that devotional service is so good. You start with 1%, 2%, and in this life you've done 10%, next life it is 11%. So try to do everything in this life, 100%, so you go straight to the kingdom of God and live in it.
Yeah.
That is love.
That is what the best thing about devotional service is, like, you don't lose anything.
Sorry.
And Krishna never forgets. Since one of Sanama Kanamar is explaining that whenever Krishna thinks about how Draupadi surrendered to him and said, "Hey Govinda," whenever he just thinks of that, you know, his love and affection for her increases all the time. So when we do different things in the community, we expose people to hearing the holy name, we expose people to honoring Krishna Prasadam. So that's not going to go in vain, that goes to that eternal bank account. Or, you know, that's what your bank account, you know, sometimes there's interest. So it keeps on piling up, it keeps on building, and in your next life you start off in a suitable situation and you go forward. So only devotional service, no other yoga process actually has that element of Krishna's mercy, because it's always our own endeavor and work hard, you know, to, like, focus on the life or whatever. Like making sure that your body is in a fit position to perform this yoga or that yoga, or your intelligence is trained enough to understand these Sanskrit slokas. But with devotional service, you know, our sincere effort and our activities are there, and then the rest is Krishna. Because how is it possible, you know, for us, well, I know for myself, a conditioned soul to be chanting Hare Krishna and then walking out the door? Sometimes I don't even have to walk out the door. And then you're seeing so much intoxication around you, so much things that can allure you away from Krishna. And still I don't fall down. And that's because Krishna is protecting the devotee. Krishna is protecting us. So that's something that's really amazing, and something that builds a lot of gratitude in the heart. Like when you're grateful for Krishna, you know, it's very easy to develop love when you're grateful. So then you understand the extreme, you know, situations or ways in which Srila Prabhupada has brought us Krishna consciousness. Your heart is, you know, you become grateful to Srila Prabhupada for what he's given us. And your heart softens. Then you want to dedicate your life to serving him and helping him expand Lord Chaitanya's mission. And that's why it's important to read scripture to understand what exactly it is that we have. Because if you don't understand what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done by inaugurating the Sankirtan movement, then we won't really push as hard, or we won't really want to push. Now we understand that Lord Chaitanya himself came to distribute love of God, and he was empowering his different devotees to do the same. He said he's only one gardener. He can't distribute all the fruit. He needs help. So he's asking us to help him expose the conditioned souls to hearing his name and hearing about his pastimes. And Krishna says, one who understands his janma and karma does not come back to this world. And if you constantly hear Krishna's activities and his name, gradually you'll come to him. Gradually. So this is what we're aiming for. We want to go back home. But that, as I said before, it takes expertise. We have to know how to take care of our devotional activities, how to take care of our mind, how to take care of how we perform devotional service amongst devotees, how not to perform offenses and all these things. If we don't know what the offenses are, how can we not perform them? We have to know all these things so that we can make further progress in devotional service. So your point is very right. You have to expose these people to devotional service because they don't know Krishna. And the easiest way to sustain them the whole thing is never fail.
Mahaprabhu is distributing love of God to everybody. Whether you are qualified or not. Prema Kumanto Maha. Who can be more than it?
And it's the highest form of love to the most fallen. In the smallest universe, the four-headed Brahma. So it's really...
What was it found?
One more transcendental realization. Well, correction is yours. Okay, so let's read the verse again. If pretty much accepts that anyone becomes expert in reading Vedic literature but makes no endeavor to fix one's mind or to think personally of Godhead, then one's endeavor is certain that there is a man who works very hard to take care of a cow but gives no milk. In other words, the fruit of one's laborious but obeyed knowledge will simply be the maker itself. There will be no other tangible result.
Thank you.
Yeah.